In Acts chapter 16, reading verses 14 and 15 this evening. This is another character study, and we're going to be looking at Lydia, titling this, Lydia, An Example of Faith. I've been praying about what book to get back in again, and I'm leaning toward Proverbs. I'm looking for things that we need desperately, and it's been many years since we taught it, and all of that's on cassette now anyway, and so maybe we'll start that soon. Notice with me as we come here to the story of Lydia, and this would be the first European convert. He says here in verse 14 and 15, "And a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, which worshiped God, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened, and she attended unto the things which are spoken of Paul. And when she was baptized and her household, she besought us, saying, If ye have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and abide there. And she constrained us." Heavenly Father, we come before thee again tonight, seeking thy will. And Lord, asking that your blessings would be upon the reading of thy holy scripture. And Father, we ask again tonight, as we have many times, that you speak to our hearts. Lord, you've put this story in your word in the Bible for some reason. We believe it's given to us not only for history, but also to encourage us in the faith. For it's in Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Last week we had looked at Philip, the evangelist and deacon. And we find here this evening the testimony of Lydia given to us in Holy Scripture. As we read through these verses, we find that she was a woman of great faith and integrity. And we find that she was a model of service and hospitality. And I have three areas I want to look at this evening. First of all, I want you to see that she was an example of devotion. And the second thing we're going to consider is that she was an example in conversion. And number three, she was an example in hospitality. Now notice as we come back here, we find, by the way, she was from Thyatira, and she's living at this time in Philippi. And we find that she was a seller of purple. Now, either that's purple dye or cloth or clothes made of purple dye, which was very famous in Thyatira at this time. You notice, let's back up just a few verses, and notice with me in verse 9 and 10. We find here in verse 9 and 10, "And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, Come over into Macedonia and help us. And after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them." We find here, if we put all these verses together, even backing up a few verses, if we put these passages together, we find that in verse, especially verse 9 and 10, what is referred to by many as a Macedonian call, we find that Paul, on his second missionary journey, was hindered by the Spirit, and not by the devil, as we was reading in Thessalonians last Sunday night, but he was hindered by the Spirit in reference to going to Bithynia. The Lord redirected him and led him into Macedonia. Macedonia is a large country in Europe at this time, with Philippi being the chief city. In other words, it was a Roman colony. You notice in verse 12, he says, "And from thence to Philippi, which is the chief city of that part of Macedonia and a colony, and we were in that city abiding certain days." So we find here in this passage that the Apostle Paul had a vision as he was on his way to Bithynia. The Lord redirected him and Luke and Silas. There's at least three or four in this team. And so they have been redirected. Now I want you to notice, as we come to verse 13, we're in the book of Acts, chapter 16, and in verse 13. Now notice here, this is kind of setting the story here for us before we go back to verse 15 and 16. And we find here in verse 13, "And on the Sabbath, we went out of the city by a riverside, where prayer was wont, that is a custom, to be made. And we sat down and spake unto the women which resorted there." Now you know what Paul's custom was when he went into a city. He usually would go into the synagogue first and preach to the Jews, and then later he would be preaching to the Gentiles. And evidently there was not a synagogue in Philippi. And so we find here something interesting before we get into verse 14 and 15. We find here that there's women in prayer on the Sabbath day by a riverside outside the city. Again, I'm speculating. This is not facts, but there may not have been enough men involved in the Jewish worship to have a synagogue, but still we find these women going to prayer. We see their faith. Now, Lydia is not converted as we read through verse 13, but she is a religious woman. I'll say more about that. She's a woman of devotion before that she was ever converted. And she, in other words, she was a seeker of God. She was either a Jew or a Gentile proselyte who had adhered to the Jewish religion, one or the other. I don't know which, but she was one or the other. And you'll notice that as we read in Acts 16, verse 13 again, "And on the Sabbath we went out of the city by a riverside where prayer was wont to be made." That is, this was common. This was a custom to be made. "And we sat down," this is Paul and his company, "and spake unto the women which resorted thither." In other words, he began to preach unto them the Word of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, and they listened intently. And what is interesting, and I'm not asking you to turn there, but when you read in the book of Philippians, in chapter 4, and I'm just giving you this verse in verse 3, as he writes this letter later, after that a church is established in Philippi, he says, "I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with other my fellow laborers whose names are in the book of life." So when we come to Philippi here, as far as believers and even believing in the Jewish religion at this time, not probably knowing much about Christ, we find that there's a group of women that kept this thing alive. They're meeting and they're praying with one another. They're seeking the Lord. Now again, Lydia is not converted. This is who we're talking about tonight, Lydia. But she is a seeker of the Lord. And so this is going to be our first point tonight, is that in verse 14, she was an example of devotion. Example of what do we mean by that? Before her conversion, she was a seeker after the God of Abraham. And we find that, I don't know whether she had a husband, she could have been a widow at this time, but she is following the light that she has. And that's important because you'll notice in verse 14, it says, "And a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, which worshipped God." Notice that. She was a worshiper of God, and she has not even been converted yet, but she was a seeker. She knew of the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And so she's meeting here, whether a Jew or a Gentile proselyte, she's meeting here with other women seeking the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So she knew something about the Jews' religion. And so this is obviously a regular prayer meeting and a regular of keeping of the Sabbath at this time. Now, what is interesting that we find others in the Scripture that this is true of also. Cornelius is one. Let me give you an example. In chapter 10, notice with me in chapter 10, you see, those who seek the Lord will find Him. Can I get an amen? They will find Him. The problem is we have few seekers today. And we're going to see not only was she a seeker of God and she found God, but God opened her heart so that she could believe and receive the truth. So she's definitely an example of devotion before she's ever converted. Notice with me as we come to chapter 10 with Cornelius. It says in beginning in verse 1, there was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of the band called the Italian band. Now watch the wording. Notice he was a devout man. Notice one that feared God with all his house, which gave much alms to the people, that is Israel, and prayed to God always. And he saw in a vision, evidently about the ninth hour of the day, an angel of God coming to him and saying to him, Cornelius. And when he looked on him, he was afraid and said, What is it, Lord? And he said unto him, Thy prayers and thine alms are come up for a memorial before God. I preached a message, a memorial to God here earlier this year or either last year. And so what he does, he gets a vision and he's told to send for the preacher, Peter. And Peter is getting a vision and he's being told that he's going to be sent for and he's to go to this Gentile man so that he can hear the gospel. Well, he's actually called a just man in verse 22, one of good report. But notice now, in verse 34, when Peter comes into his house, and I'm just skipping around because we're not talking about Cornelius tonight, but Lydia. But notice that Cornelius was in the same position as Lydia. He was a seeker of God. He believed in the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And he believed that God had been with that nation. And it says in verse 34, well, the latter part of verse 33, Cornelius is saying, we are ready to hear all that is commanded of us. And then Peter begins preaching in verse 34. And then the Cornelius and his household from verse 44 to 45 is converted. He says in verse 44, and while Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all them which heard the word, and they of the circumcision which believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnified God. Then said Peter, Can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized, which have received the Holy Ghost as well as we? And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Then prayed they him to tarry certain days. So as Peter is preaching to Cornelius and his household and his friends and so forth, we find that they believed. And then they received the Holy Ghost and then they were baptized. Now, I want you to notice in chapter 11, Peter is having to explain this now to other Jews. They're asking, saying, Peter, why did you go to the Gentiles, those who are unclean? He basically says, God told me to go. Now, notice as we come here to chapter 11, reading in verse 13 and 14, and he showed us how he had seen an angel in his house, speaking of Cornelius, which stood and said to him, Send men to Joppa and call for Simon, whose surname is Peter. Now watch this. Verse 14, Who shall tell thee words whereby thou and all thy house shall be saved. And you can read on, and it speaks that they received the gift of the Holy Ghost, they received salvation, and also repentance unto life in the last few words of verse 18. So Cornelius is a man of devotion. He's a man that prayed and gave alms, and this went up for a memorial unto this man, but he's not converted. But he is a seeker of God. Now, I can testify to you this evening, when I began to seek the Lord, and people can debate all the arguments out there, you know, between how the Lord calls and everything else. But when I began to seek I found the Lord. The Lord met with me. Now, going back to chapter 16, so she was a woman that worshiped God. She was regularly in prayer meetings and also keeping the Sabbath. By the way, another man, the eunuch from Ethiopia in Acts chapter 8, verse 27 through 39. We've just mentioned him just a week or so ago in another sermon. You know what he was doing? He was lost, but he was a seeker. He was at Jerusalem to worship with the Jews on the feast day, and he was going by the light that he had. He submitted himself and sought the Lord by the light that he has, and God sent not only Peter to Cornelius and Paul to Lydia and the other women, but God sent Philip. That was last Wednesday night we were talking about this. God sent Philip to preach unto the eunuch, and you know what? He was converted. He believed on Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. So now as we come back, you'll notice with me coming back here, we're in verse 14, and it says here, "And a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, which worshiped God and heard us." So she is a follower of the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, either a Jew or a Gentile proselyte. And she's worshiping God, and she heard us. Notice that. She heard us. And we find as we look at this verse, it says, and the Lord opened her heart. And it also says that she attended unto the things which are spoken of Paul. So now we see that not only is she an example in devotion, but she is an example for all of us or anyone in conversion. She was a seeker of God. And we find here that she attended, listened intently to the preaching of God's word, and she's converted. The Lord opens her heart. I want you to think about this. We find here verse 14. It says, "And she's a worshiper of God and heard us, whose heart the Lord opened, that she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul." The Bible tells us in Acts chapter 8 and in verse 6. This is Philip. We read this passage last week. Philip preaching in Samaria in verse 5 and 6. "Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them, and the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did." She attended, she listened intently, closely to the apostles' message. And here we find those in Samaria listened intently to what Philip had to say. Turn with me to Luke chapter 24. Notice with me in Luke chapter 24. And I'll give you another passage about listening and hearing the Word of God and receiving the Word of God. In Nehemiah chapter 8, not asking you to turn there, but we find that as the children of Israel had came out of captivity, coming back to rebuild the city of Jerusalem and the temple, that Ezra, the scribe, he took the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had commanded to Israel, and Ezra the priest, that's verse 1 and 2, He brought the law before the congregation, both of men and women, and all that could hear with understanding, upon the first day of the seventh month. Verse 3, the latter part of the verse, it says that the people were attentive unto the book of the law. And in verse 5 and 6, it says that they worshiped, they bowed themselves, they said amen, amen to the for the preaching of God's word. They lifted up their hands, they worshiped. And in verse 9, the latter part of verse 9, said all the people wept when they heard the words of the Lord. It made them happy and also made them weep. And again, in chapter 9, verses 1, 2, and 3, they stood for hours, a fourth part of the day, and confessing their sins and worshiping. In other words, they were attentive to the word of God, and God opened their hearts. God will not open your heart if you resist and reject the truth of His Word. Now notice in Luke chapter 24, and this is after the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And by the way, I'm going to be reading from verse 44, but there's also in the same text, there's more than just the apostles' eyes that were open. We find that there's two men from Emmaus, beginning in verse 13, down to about verse 31, that the Lord appeared unto them and spoke unto them. And then it says in verse 31, their eyes were opened and they knew Him, and He vanished out of their sight. The Lord is in the business of opening eyes. If people are attentive to the Word and a seeker of the Lord, He will open our eyes. In Luke chapter 24, verse 44, and He said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. Now keep in mind, up until this point, up until after the resurrection, the apostles' eyes were not completely open. He would talk to them. He said, I must be crucified. I must be turned over to the Gentiles and I must die. Remember, Peter said one time, he said, not so, Lord. So they did not truly understand all the facts and details of the crucifixion. They've been following Jesus for 3 years. Now He's talking about dying and leaving them. So they didn't understand all this. But notice in verse 45, He says, now all things are fulfilled in verse 44 in the law of Moses, the prophets, and Psalms. That covers all the entire Old Testament. Three divisions. The law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms. Concerning me, He says, then verse 45, then opened He their understanding that they might understand the Scripture, and said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer, and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in His name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And He says, and you are witness of these things. Now going back to our text, so we see how that God opens the eyes of those who are willing to listen and to be attentive to the Word of God. And by the way, if you're taking notes, you'll find this again in Ephesians 1, verse 17 and 18. You'll find there in that text that the Apostle Paul is even praying for the Christians at Ephesus that who are saved. He's praying that their eyes will even be opened more. That it will be open more, that they'll understand the truths of God's Word. Then in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 4 through 6, we find that those who believe not, Satan has blinded their eyes. Those who reject, they've blinded their eyes. But those who receive and listen to the Word, the light will shine and into a dark heart and give the light of the glorious gospel of Christ. Just like in creation, God spoke and said, and there was light. Spiritually speaking, when the Word of God is spoken and a person will receive it and be attentive to it, they will receive spiritual light. Well, now notice, as we come back to our text, we not only find her, we see her occupation, And even the Proverbs 31 passage, or the woman there, we find that that she was wise in things of even commerce and things of that nature. But we not only find her worshiping and hearing the Word of God and her heart being opened and she attended into the things, but we find in verse 15, and when she was baptized and her household, she besought us saying. One of the first things that we do when we receive the Lord Jesus Christ is to follow the Lord in what we refer to as believer's baptism. Cornelius received the Holy Ghost. He believed and received the Holy Ghost by faith. And then Peter said to them, he would take them and baptize them. And here we find Lydia believing and receiving the truth, but she submitted to baptism, following the Lord. This is a public testimony of our faith in Jesus Christ. It's the blood that cleanses us and washes us from our sins. The water baptism is a public testimony. It's like the Lord's table. The Lord's table is a testimony. You know, when we partake of the bread and the cup, it is a testimony of what Christ has done for us. Water baptism is a testimony of what Christ has done for us. We find in Acts 2, when they believed, they were baptized. Acts chapter 8, the eunuch, after he believed. And the eunuch said, what doth hinder me to be baptized? And what does Philip say unto him? He said, you must believe first. And he said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And then he was baptized. And we also find here in this passage that her household. Now, a household here can speak of the family, obviously. That'd be the first thought, family members. It could speak of servants. It could speak of anyone that was living in her home. And we would see this expression in other places. We find the Philippian jailer that gets saved down in verse 30 through about verse 34, 35, that it mentions his household. Because the apostle said in verse 31, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved and thy house. In other words, those that live within your house can be saved as well. We find in Hebrews 11, 7 and Genesis 7, 1, that Noah built an ark to the saving of his house, physical salvation as well as spiritual. And Joshua 24, verse 14 and 15, he says, as far as me and my house, we will serve the Lord. So this is talking about those who abide in your house, usually referring to family members. So we find now, coming to verse 15, the third area that I want to point out, and she is an example not only of devotion and conversion, but she's an example of hospitality. Notice the latter part of verse 15. She besought us saying, if you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and abide there. And she constrained them. In other words, when it says she constrained them, she was not going to take no for an answer. She compelled them. She pressed upon them. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5, I believe it's verse 14, that the love of Christ constraineth us. It motivates us. It kind of pushes us along and compels us. Why do we serve the Lord? It's not because somebody's beating us over the head with a Bible or trying to threaten us. We serve the Lord because of the love of Jesus Christ. When we look at His love on Calvary's cross, then that motivates us to serve Him. I've been a Christian for 48 years. Nobody has had to tell me I needed to go to church. There's nobody had to knock on my door and tell me I needed to be in church. You know, and nobody's ever had to tell me I need to read my Bible or witness to others or give my testimony. The love of Christ does that. But what we find here, that the Lord, when He opened her heart, she opened her home. And this is the result of one of the results of being saved. A heart for God and a heart for others. This is what we see. Faith shows itself in good deeds. No one is saved by good works. But faith reveals itself in good deeds and good works. And we have here the ministry of hospitality. In other words, she says in the latter part of verse 5, if you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and abide there. And she constrained us. Now, there's two of this missionary team. Two of them end up in prison in this chapter, Paul and Silas. And then they're released, and after they're released, notice verse 40, and they went out of the prison and entered into the house of Lydia, and when they had seen the brethren, they comforted them and departed. So they spent quite a bit of time, evidently, in her house, and might even use it for headquarters for the preaching of the gospel. I want to leave with you just some verses on hospitality and we'll close. Romans 12, if you'll turn there with me, you can turn loose of the book of Acts. Romans chapter 12. I hope this is a blessing to you. Lydia is a woman of faith who let the light shine and willing to be used of the Lord in good works and good deeds. And notice with me, as we come to Romans chapter 12, we find here in verse 13, speaking of the gifts of the Spirit and so forth, and he says in verse 13, distributing to the necessity of saints, notice giving to hospitality. Turn with me, please, to the book of Hebrews. I'm just going to go through four or five verses. And we'll close. Notice in Hebrews chapter 13, reading in verse 1 and 2, would it be given to hospitality? The word hospitality has the ideal of the friendly and generous reception and entertainment of guests, visitors, or strangers. In chapter 13, verse 1 and 2, let brotherly love continue. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers. For thereby some have entertained angels unawares. Abraham did that, and Lot did that as well. In Galatians chapter 6, and if you don't want to turn to all of these, I'll at least give them to you. You see, we're never saved by good works, but Ephesians 2:10 says we're created in Christ Jesus unto good works. Even in the book of Titus, chapter 3 and verse 8, those who are Christians are to maintain good works. In Galatians chapter 6, reading verse 10, he says, as we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. We also find in 1 Timothy chapter 5, when it comes to the subject of bringing a widow into the congregation for financial support, he lays down the qualifications, and I'm just going to read one verse. She had to be a certain age, but I'm just reading verse 10 because of this subject of hospitality. It says, and should be well reported of for good works, if she have brought up children, if she have lodged strangers, if she have washed the saints' feet, if she have relieved the afflicted, if she have diligently followed every good work. So we see this subject of hospitality all through the Scripture. You see it again in 3 John, I believe it's 5 through 8, with Gaius there. And the Apostle John is praising him for the hospitality that he had shown to others over the years. Now let's close in 2 Kings. In 2 Kings, on this subject of hospitality. So again, Lydia's a great testimony. Aren't you glad that God put her story in the Word of God and given it to us so that we can be reading it 2,000 years later? Notice in 2 Kings, and I'm reading in chapter 4, and I'm reading verses 8 through 10. Verses 8 through 10. Notice here as we come to this passage. And it fell on a day that Elisha passed through Shunem, where was a great woman, and she constrained him, here's that word again, constrained him to eat bread. And so it was that as oft as he passed by, he turned in thither to eat bread. And she said unto her husband, behold, now I perceive that this is a holy man of God, which passes by us continually. Let us make a little chamber. This is where we get the expression prophet's chamber. Let us make a little chamber, I pray thee, on the wall, and let us set for him there a bed and a table and a stool and a candlestick. And it shall be that when he cometh to us, that he shall turn in thither. And him and his servant did come there and stay. And what was interesting, this Shunammite woman, she's called that in verse 12, Elisha was so impressed with this hospitality. He was so impressed. He told his servant, he said, go ask this woman what she would like to have from the Lord. She didn't need a whole lot, but her husband was old and she didn't have a child. And so Elijah told her, says, here's the time that you're going to have a child. Put in my own words, she said, now don't play with me, preacher. And she did. She had a child. She showed that hospitality. And God blessed tremendously. Would you stand with me tonight? Father, we thank thee for this time together. We thank thee for the word of God. We thank you for the comfort and joy that we receive from the things in the scripture. Lord, help us to meditate upon this story that you've given to us, not only for a historical setting, but that it might be a great encouragement and a comfort to us here today in 2020. And Lord, we pray that we'll take heart to this. We thank you for the testimony last week of Philip, and now here Lydia. And Lord, we just pray tonight your blessings upon the remaining of the service. For it's in Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.